The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
What is the first thing you do when you find yourself in some type of trouble? I think we would all agree that everyone has troubles from time to time, but not everyone tries to solve the problems or troubles the same way. So let me ask you this question. What is the best way? Is there a best way? There are many Bible examples of how the people of God tried to solve their troubles. And I think there's one example of one person that really stands out among the rest and how he solved his problems. One about trying to solve his troubles is because he had more than his share of troubles. And of course, I'm speaking about King David. For example, let me give you a quick condensed version of some of the troubles that this man faced in his life. I'm going to give them too rapid for you to try and write them down, but I know that you will at least call these to mind. He was hunted by King Saul. He barely escaped assassination attacks on his life several times. He had to spend a great deal of his time hiding in the wilderness. His entire family was kidnapped on one occasion. His own men, friends, turned against him and were ready to kill him. He suffered the shame of having committed adultery and murder. His son Amnon raped David's daughter Tamar. His other son Absalom murdered Amnon. Absalom led a revolt against David, his own father. Absalom was killed. David grieved greatly. This is a short list. This is a short list. And so I think that we can understand that David is a man that we can look at and see, how did he deal in time of troubles with the troubles that he was facing? Through all of these things, somehow David survived them all and has come to be remembered as a man after God's own heart. How was he able to do this? How was he able to hold up and to survive and to deal with all of these different troubles that came upon him? Well, brethren, I believe that there is an answer that we can find, and I think it answers our original question about, is there a best way of dealing with troubles in our lives? And I said, I do think there is. And I think that we can study, we can look at one example out of the life of David, and I think that we will learn the answer. I think that we will see what David did when faced with one of the most serious troubles that he faced in his entire life. I'd like for you to go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We'll begin reading in verse 1. 1 Samuel 30 verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. Actually, in the Hebrew, when you read it there, what you actually find is they come to the city, and it is still smoldering. It has just happened. This hasn't been very long when the fire, and it's all burnt. It's all burnt. Verse 2. and had taken, in other words, and Amalekites, and they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. What they did was they pretty much removed every person from this town. It's what we actually are reading. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Again, this is one of those Hebrew terms which you would look at, and it means their wives and their sons and their daughters. What it is saying is everyone is gone. And that's an important point to see because of some of the things that happens a little bit later. So what we see here is they were walking through the burnt ruins, still smoldering, the smoke still coming up of this city. And then we go to verse 4, and it says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. One translation says, they wept aloud until they were too weak to weep anymore. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. In verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. I would think so. This is one of those words that we find in a Bible that does not do the justice. It's like over in the New Testament where Jesus had fasted for 40 days and it says, and afterwards he was hungry. Wow. This is what is happening here. Was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. And here's what we need to understand here. I told you this is that it looks like every person had been taken away. The only people with him were these 300 men or so that were with David and David. And so what we see here is David's own men were ready to stone David. I mean, after all, their conclusion was it was his fault. Because we have to stop and think, what had happened? These were people, some of these people had been cast out from Saul. Some of these people were from other areas, and they were, we would probably look at it and say, a really ragtag group of people, and probably more accurately, we would say, a lot of these guys are a bunch of thugs. And this is who has surrounded himself around David at this particular time. And so they're wanting to kill David. And David, remember, had aligned himself with the Philistines against Saul, i.e. Israel, to do battle against them. I mean, that's the setup. That's what we're seeing here. And so they're coming to the conclusion that this is your fault. David now faced with a really bad set of circumstances and real trouble with no one to turn to for help. Let's read the rest of verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the fear of God. I've made these statements like this before, and I'll say it here. That's the sermon. Everything else is filler because that's the answer. But let's take a look at this answer. Is there a best way to deal with troubles when we find ourselves there? And the answer is yes. It's to do what David did. Here's a major lesson that we need to learn. Circumstances do not make the person. They reveal the person, whether it be man or child or woman, man, woman, or child. Circumstances do not make the man, they reveal him. What I mean is, the how we react in times of trouble reveals what has already been in our heart. Reveal what we're going to do, how we react to the circumstances, the troubles we're going through, is only revealing what really isn't already in our heart. And that's an important point for us to understand. And that's why David did all of these things. This is why we see, and this is what we see from David. We also need to understand, brethren, that our success does not depend upon people, neither is it controlled by negative words that are spoken by them. Brethren, our success is based upon our great God and His will for our lives. Also, our attitude towards the circumstances determines their influence upon our lives. Influences the circumstances, how it depends on our lives. What is our attitude toward it? Oh, this is so much bigger than me. I can't do this. And this is too much. And they're too powerful. And I'm too weak. And I'm just a woman. Or I'm just a child. Or I'm sick. Or whatever it is. Our attitude towards the circumstances determines their influence over our lives. If we remain positive and we encourage ourselves in the Lord, we can take what the devil meant to be harm to us, to be bad toward us, and God then will turn it into good for us. So we have a major part in this. How we are to deal with troubles in our lives. Do we have troubles in our lives? Of course we have troubles in our lives. So who is this talking to? Everybody that has troubles in our lives. It's the how we look at it. It's the how we deal with it. It's the approach. It's the attitude. It's all of these things. And we see all of these things in David. That's why he's such an incredible example to look at. I want us to look at the rest of the context of these verses that we've seen here already. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. After David, I'm going to repeat a little of it because I want to get the story flow together here so that we'll be on the same page here, as it were. After David fled from King Saul, at the time of these verses that we're looking at here in 1 Samuel, David was living in Ziklag. Now, where it is not the point. You can look it up. There's points about that, but I won't go there. The Philistines were preparing to do battle against King Saul. In other words, they were to do battle against Israel. And David and his men had aligned themselves with the Philistines. I mean, after all, his king over here in Israel was trying to kill him. So they fled, and they fled into an area that was controlled by the Philistines. Now, who were the Philistines to the Israelites? They were their worst enemy at the time. So he goes to the area of the worst enemy of Israel, but then again, maybe Israel and Saul is David's worst enemy at the time. So they go there, and they align themselves with them, and they're going to go and do battle. Yet the Philistines did not completely trust David, so they sent David and his men back to Ziklag. Now, just a society issue as a question, do you think God had anything to do with that? I mean, just think about this. Here is David and his men who are going to do battle against Israel. And David, very shortly after this, is going to become king of Israel. From reading these verses, we learn that the city of Ziklag had been attacked and had burned by the Amalekites. We see that in verse 1. And then in verses 2 through 5, we learn that the women and children had been kidnapped, including David's family. Then in verse 6, David is distraught, bothered by, putting it in a mild way, and his men were ready to kill him for not having been there when he was needed. And David, it's your fault. So what did David do when he had lost his family and his own life is threatened? Okay. How many of us have problems? We all do. How many of us have troubles? We all do. Is anyone trying or has anyone taken your family and everybody that's left is threatening to kill you? You put it in a perspective and we go, I don't think my troubles are quite that bad. All right, you understand where I'm going, right? You understand. So let's notice again the last part of verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. The New American Standard and also the New King James Version both state that, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The first thing that David did in this time of trouble was to strengthen or encourage himself in the Lord his God. Today we might use some other phrase that would get the picture to us in a clearer way. We might use the term that David put his trust in God. It's not the same word, but it would be the phrase that we would understand if the scripture had said, and so David put his trust in God, and he did put his trust in God. And so they're using these other words, and we'll see some of this as we go along, these other words and what it is actually saying. Because it said, encouraged himself in the Lord, or strengthened himself in the Lord. He trusted God. And that's an important point. So with the strength that he received from God, David was now able to deal with whatever the trouble was that was before him. You can read the rest of the story and see how it turns out. And it's an incredible story. And that's not part of the story I want to deal with today. But you can read it and go on and see what happens. To put it real simply, he hunted them down. He and his men, they hunted them down and they got all the people back. That's the good side of it. A lot of lessons there also, but we're not dealing with them today. So with this in mind, we need to ask, what does it mean to strengthen himself in the Lord his God? In other words, what did he do? Or what did it look like? I mean, to have the words is one thing. To have illustrations is something else. And that's what we want to do. So in trying to answer this question, I think it helps us to take a look at some of the Psalms that David wrote during times of trouble. Because this is, I told you, I just read a short list earlier, and I gave you 10 different things. I don't know if anybody was trying to count or whatever, but I gave you 10. And there's beaucoup more, a plethora more of these things. And so I want to show you some. The first one I want to just show you, and I'm showing you all of these very quickly, but so I'm just getting to the point. Here's the trouble. Here's what David did. The first one I have is fleeing from Absalom, he wrote Psalm 3. Now, that's a good thing to know, isn't it? When David wrote some of his Psalms, what is going on that he would write the particular Psalm that he wrote? And that's an important thing, and that's a wonderful thing to be able to understand. So let's go to Psalm 3 and verse 1. Psalm 3 and verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah, think about it. A second one was when imprisoned in Gath, and if you don't know that story, go ahead and read the story. But when he's imprisoned in Gath, David wrote Psalm 56. So let's go to Psalm 56. Verse 1. Psalm 56 and verse 1. And I guess you're seeing that I'm only reading just a couple of the verses just to get the flavor of what he's writing here so that we can get the point. Verse 1. Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for men would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. Make mine enemies daily swallow me up. for they be many that fight against me, O you Most High. Verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. He could have just as easily said, I will encourage myself in the Lord God, or I will strengthen myself in the Lord God. This is where I'm getting the fact that we could have used that, because it's the same kind of feeling. It's the same sense of it. Number 3, while hunted by Saul, David wrote Psalm 59. So let's go to Psalm 59, verse 1. 59, verse 1. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. Not for my transgressions, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepared themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold. David's saying, I didn't cause this. He's hunting me down, and I've had to flee. Deal with me, protect me, take care of me, encourage me, strengthen me. And I have one more, number 4. And there are others. I'm just doing you some. While hiding in the wilderness of Judah, David wrote Psalm 63. So here's the point, brethren. When we look at all of these psalms, and this is just some of them that he wrote during the times of trouble in his life, we can see how David strengthened himself in the Lord. Now I want to kind of just show you some of the other verses in those passages, in those 4 places that we talked about, to show you some of his words of how he strengthened himself in the Lord. Back in Psalm 56, we learned that David would place his trust in God to help him. That's what it says. Verse 3, Psalm 56 and verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Verse 4. And God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Go down to verse 9. This is still in Psalm 56, verse 9. When I cry unto you, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. And then from Psalm 59, we learn that David was determined to continue praising God for God's help. Psalm 59, verse 16. Psalm 59, verse 16. But I will sing of your power, yea, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto you, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Then from Psalm 63, I didn't read any of those verses earlier because we're going to read several of these verses here. In Psalm 63, what we see is David overcame his problem, and I'm using this term of loneliness in several different ways, and we see several different ways here in Psalm 63. One way is seeking the Lord, seeking him, searching out for him, seeking the Lord. This is in Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. We read these verses to begin services today. Verse 2. I see your power and your glory, so as I have seen you in the sanctuary. And then in another way that he overcame his loneliness, again, I'm using that word with parentheses around it, is praising God and praying to God. Praising God and praying to God. We see this in verse 3 through 5. Verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your names. In your name, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. And then another way he says that he would overcome his loneliness, looking to God for the help and the deliverance, was meditating upon the Lord, thinking about God. Now, before we read the verses, let me ask you a question. During times of trouble, have you ever found comfort in just thinking about God as opposed to thinking on the troubles? That's what David did. That's what he did. Verse 6, when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. Verse 7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. Brother, let's realize this. Let's realize that in all of these Psalms, he is basically saying the same thing. And I'm going to give you a list. I'm going to give you a list of three things. Three things that he tells us here. He's saying basically the same thing in all of these Psalms that we've looked at. Number one, in time of trouble, put your trust in the Lord. In other words, strengthen yourself in God. Number two, in times of trouble, stay close to God through praising Him and praying to Him. And number three, in doing these things, one and two, in doing these things, we will be made strong as God supports and helps us and lifts us up. So number three, in doing these things, we will be made strong as the Lord God supports us. Go back with me to Psalm 63. That's where the last place we were. But now I want us to read verse 8. Psalm 63 and verse 8. My soul follows hard after you, or my soul follows close behind you, which is a better rendering. Your right hand upholds me. You lift me up. This was how David strengthened himself in the Lord his God, making him able to face and overcome his troubles with the help that God gave to him. Now, I understand that David had a part in here, and we're looking at David's part, and I understand that God has a part in here, and God's part is so much bigger than David's part. We understand that. So I'm not making light on God's part here. But we're focusing on what we can do here. We know that it's this big and we do about this much and God does all the rest. Okay, I understand that. But we have to understand what he does. We also have to understand what we are to be doing so that he will do this much while we do this much. And we're focusing on that much here today and this right now. So we need to ask ourselves again. In times of trouble, do we follow David's example? I think it's a good question. Do we follow David's example? Okay, now I want us to think about the topic this way. Even as true believers today, we all face many different troubles in our lives. I mean, after all, we could be having troubles in our family, on our job, in our finances, and you could go on and on and on. And so we understand that there are different kinds of problems, but we all face them in different ways. And here is the thing. Here is the point. all too often, we try to handle our own troubles in our own way. For example, by leaving God completely out of the picture. There have been times I've counseled with people and they're telling me about all the things going on, and I say, well, what have you been praying about this, and particularly been praying about it? And I've had people to say, well, I haven't really been praying because I didn't really know what to do. Ding, number one, they've left God completely out of the picture. They didn't mean to, but I'll have to say out of, quote, ignorance. So I'm trying to remove any of the ignorance today. A second way is sometimes, even in times of trouble, some even forsake him entirely. We could all probably name people when the Church of God started doing some crazy things and teaching crazy doctrines and all of that in times of trouble. Some hunkered down and brought the Bible back out, dusted it off, and really dug in and really proved what the Bible was saying, while others said, I'm going to do something else. And they left. And so we know, we could name names. I'm not going to, but we could name names. And another way is by no longer praising God and praying to him on a daily basis. If God is the source of deliverance, do you think that we should be spending time away from him? Or do you think that we should be closer and closer and closer to him? David sought him out. I mean, that's just a real simple illustration. And one of the ways that he sought him out was through praising him and praying to him. We should be doing the same thing, not just in time of troubles, but at all times. And then another one is that there are some, by neglecting to assemble themselves together, where we gather together for two purposes. I mean, you could listen to that in a lot of different ways, and I'm kind of confining everything. We get together for two reasons. One is to edify, to build up one another, and the second one is to worship God. So with this in mind, however, brethren, let me ask you this. Do you realize, or do you know, are you aware of, that God is actually angered when we seek to solve our own troubles without God? Do you realize if we aren't seeking God in the way he wants us to seek him in times of trouble, we may be angering him? But sometimes we do it because we don't know this. So please go with me to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 in verse 5. We're going to read 5 through 8. Verse 5 through 8. Verse 5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. Now you think, when I was reading those things and giving some things that people do sometimes, you thought I was just making them up, wasn't you? I was actually get them right out of these scriptures. Verse 6, for he shall like the hearth, and the word is actually, it's a better word, is the bush. For he shall like the bush in the desert, and shall not see when good or when prosperity comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land, and not inhabited. In other words, in places that nobody wants. Verse 7, he tells us the secret. Verse 5 through 6, 5 and 6 are telling us, cursed is the man who does it this way, and this is what's going to happen to him. Verse 7, he says, but blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Verse 8, I'm going to read this one in the New International Version, and it says, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So, you got a choice here. You want to seek God in times of trouble and do as David did and get this, blessed and all of this, or not and be cursed. That's what he says. Because did you notice this? God considers this type of a person who doesn't come to him and seek him in times of trouble as being cursed. That's what it says. I didn't write that in there. You read it with me. There are several examples in the scriptures, but a real good example of God's displeasure when his people failed to look to him for strength during times of trouble is the time when Israel was attacked by Assyria and Israel placed their trust in Egypt. That's what it says. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Now, don't you get it? He's saying that in times of trouble and what we're supposed to do as opposed to going to man or somebody else, but to go to God and receive the strength. That's exactly what he's saying. It angered him. We see this as a clear illustration. Then, because of this, God promised to disrupt, to interfere with, or whatever kind of word that you would use there, to disrupt Israel's efforts to try and solve her problems by herself. That's what he says. He says, because you didn't do it the way that you should be doing it, I'm going to mess up your plans to get it solved. This is what he's saying. Verse 3, Isaiah 30 and verse 3. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust and the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Oh, I'm so confused. I don't know how to deal with it. You're going to the wrong source. Now go to Isaiah 31, verse 1. Isaiah 31 and verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they're very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel. Neither seek the Lord. Verse 2. Yet he also is wise and shall bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helps shall fall, and he that is hoping, or he that is helped, shall fall down, and they shall all fall together. And here's the point that we need to notice here, brethren, that God wanted Israel to trust in him, to seek him, not in themselves or not anyone else. Go back to chapter 30, Isaiah 30, this time verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. That's where you get it, but you wouldn't do that. This is what he's saying. Verse 16. But you said, no. For we will flee upon horses, therefore shall you flee. And then he says, and you said, and you will ride upon the swift. And then God answers them and says, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. In other words, be faster than you are. So here's a major point, brethren, in our lives, even in our lives today. God wants us to put our trust in him. In other words, to be strengthened in him. This is what he wants. James 4, verse 7. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now let's go to 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. You think Egypt cared for Israel? Of course not. Did God? Yes. Could they deliver Israel? No. Could God? Yes. Who did they turn to? Egypt. It sounds like us so many times. We turn to doing it our own way. Whether it's we try to work it out or we go to something else to work out the problems when God tells us exactly what he wants. We have all probably heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves, right? There's a better way of saying that. It's actually found over in Proverbs 3. It's actually a verse. A better way of saying it would, God helps those who put their trust in the Lord their God with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding. That's what the verse says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Brethren, a very important point for us to realize is that when we leave God out of the picture and trying to solve our troubles on our own, God will allow us to deal with our troubles on our own and without his help. Or, on the other hand, he could disrupt or frustrate our efforts to solve our problems independent of his help, because we remember that is exactly what God chose to do to discipline Israel. It's exactly what he did. And of course, in either way, here's a point that we need to understand. God would be using either one of these ways as a means to discipline us in love. I mean, after all, we are his children. And he does all things, or he allows all things for our good. Now, that's a major, major lesson that a lot of people, even in the church, never really get. They don't really get this. Why are you after me? Why are you doing this to me? Let me read you a verse, and I'd like you just, if you're doing notes, just write it down, but I want you to listen to the words. I want to read you this verse. It's over in John 16 and verse 33. Jesus makes a statement. We've all heard it, so I want you to listen to it. John 16, 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And we go, yeah, I mean, you know, that's really good. The phrase, "be of good cheer," in the Greek, because this is done in Greek, the Greek means three major points that what that Greek word, how the usage of this word. Number one is to exercise courage. And what that is meaning is it's the attitude of facing and dealing with difficult and painful circumstances instead of withdrawing from them. It's facing them. Number two, this is all from "be of good cheer." This is what he's saying in this term when he says, "be of good cheer." The second one is to be bold. Now that's talking about to take risk, to face danger, to become daring and fearful. Now, when you know that you're doing it God's way, you can do these. It's scary to do it on your own, but to do it God's way, it isn't. And then the third one is to be confident. All of these are actual meanings of this Greek word, cheer. Be of good cheer. that phrase, putting it all together, that's what it's talking about. Number three is to be confident, meaning trusting in God's ability to see us through difficult times. See, we tend to think that it says, but be of good cheer, it means be happy. So we see three things from that. We see courage, we see boldness, and we see confidence. What we need to see and understand, is, brethren, is Jesus was not simply telling us to cheer up, to put on a smile on our face and hope for the best. And sometimes that's exactly what we think. That's not what the phrase meant at all. And so that's not what he meant. But that's how sometimes we think about it. He was telling us to take a proactive and courageous position of faith instead of passively yielding or submitting ourselves to the troubles that are around us. Take a proactive approach toward the problems. Why? And this is the point that I want you to get. All the other is important, but this is the point that I want us to get from this. Why? Because true believers will never escape the tribulation that is in the world. Why would I make such a strong statement? In the world, you will have tribulation. That's what he said. This is what Jesus said. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be courageous. Take boldness. Have confidence. Because I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to tell you how to do it. But you got to do it my way, seeking me, as opposed to doing it on your own. The word tribulation, the Greek term meaning, the word means pressure, affliction, trouble. In the world, you will have pressure, affliction, and trouble. There's one translation that I think puts it better than any of the others that I've looked at on this verse. And I always look at a lot of different verses, pretty much on every verse that I use. It's the Amplified Bible. It says, in the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. It didn't say you might. It says you will have. And Jesus says, but be courageous, have boldness and confidence, because I have overcome the world. And I'm not even dealing with that phrase in this teaching today, that I have overcome the world. But what it is saying is, follow in my footsteps. Real simply, it is saying, so follow in my steps. I know the way. I beat down the bushes. So I'd like for us to summarize, conclude this teaching by restating, I believe, some very important points that I think that we saw here today. Number one, in times of trouble, look for the Lord God for our strength. Courage, boldness, confidence. Number two, trust in God and be totally committed to praising Him and praying to Him. If we're not seeking God in these ways, we're not seeking God. So we're going to have to therefore go to the, quote, Egyptians or to ourselves. And we know what God said on that. Cursed be the man who. And number three, let each one of us come to the same conclusion as did King David. It's Psalm 63 and verse 8. We read it. Psalm 63 and verse 8. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me or lifts me up. Where else can we get the strength and be encouraged to face the troubles? It's from God. There is no other source. So, brother, here's the point. We need to remember that those who trust in God will be strengthened in the Lord God, and they will also have deliverance, and they will have true happiness because they have courage and boldness and confidence in the great God. So let's each one of us, as David did, be strengthened in the Lord our God. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, and I've said many times, the children of Israel today is a spiritual parallel of the church of God. So he's talking to us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of God, and I will bless them. So, brethren, God bless you all with the strength and the encouragement that we need that comes only from the Lord our God. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.